This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
He's going to bail and throw, and A.J. Terrell's going to pick it. How about that? Play fake to Davis, going to throw. This is Pitts, wide open. Turns the corner. First down, Atlanta. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell on a 4th of July weekend, Independence Day, Monday. Hope everybody's going to have a lot of fun. Heading to the beach, heading to the mountains, the lake. Either way, it's all going through the downtown connector right now here in Atlanta. I can tell you that. It is Dukes and Bell with John Chuckery in for Carl. And we got Day-Day. He's pushing the buttons. Not like Dada Man in New Jack City, but Day-Day. And then we got Squid Billy, the brains of the operation. But a big show, man. We already talked to DeJounte Murray, newest member of the Hawks. We just tried to really shake down Steve Koonin about more action coming our way. I just got a feeling, man. He was, you know,
coy.
What? He was very coy. He was measured with his responses. I just think something else is going to happen with the Hawks. Maybe not tonight, but something's going to go down.
We still got a couple hours, Mike. The way the NBA is going right now, like as soon as you think there's no news.
Well, if the Hawks are listening, please do this before 6:59. Anyway, we like to start the 5 o'clock hour, as we do every hour, with a big hearty, hey, man. Grab your hey, man, ale, man. Your beach party's not complete. You can bring it over state lines. It's not like the bandit with the,
bootlegging.
You know, with the snowman. So go get your hey, man, ale, guys, and the watermelon lime. They are pumping it out. I know they're trying to meet demand out there at Oconee Brewing, but ask for the beer at your package store or Publix. I'll get it for you. All right, buddy boy. You brought up a great question the other day when we were talking about the reseeding that Pro Football Focus did about the NFL draft, and Micah Parsons would be obviously a slam dunk. Probably, I'd even take him over Trevor Lawrence, even though I know Trevor's upside is there. Right. If you want to go strictly by performance, he did it. Kyle Pitts was a Pro Bowler. All the guys in the league recognized the game. You've got other tight ends talking about Kyle Pitts. The only thing that missed out, though, was the touchdowns. How many more touchdowns is he going to score this year?
I hope 5 or 6. I mean, I think that's a realistic number. And maybe Drake London is also 5 or 6 touchdowns. But, you know, part of this, Mike, is just the idea of what is this offense going to look like? You know, Marcus Mariota's best attempt passing season ever is 453. Okay, Matt's average season the last 4 years is 600 pass attempts. The average team is 585 attempts. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a quarterback who just by his nature throws it all over the yard.
So that's the thing. If you had Ryan, then I could get into all these different scenarios of Drake London and Pitts going bananas.
Right, but I mean, you have an offense that probably is going to start to shift into more of a run-first type of offense. But again, Mike, your offensive line's got questions. Let's see what we look like at running back. How much of a load can you give Cordero Patterson? There's a lot of – and this is what I keep going back to. I just don't know what our offensive identity is going to be. I don't care who plays quarterback. I'm talking about what are we going to be offensively, because you have two top 10 pass catchers. You have a whole stable of running backs, but you don't have an offensive line to do a lot of different things with. What are we going to be offensively this year?
The movement thing, and something we talked about, something that Justin Fields fans, who wanted us to go Justin Fields, and remember we talked about, well, those guys, well, you know, you get a mobile quarterback and it solves everything. No, it doesn't, because a bad offensive line in Chicago, they were terrible offensively, and Fields really struggled at times. I'm not saying that's going to be his end game, but you got to have the moving parts. Just because you have a quarterback that can move does not guarantee you of anything. Mike Vick still had a great offensive line in front of him. It was that leg-whipping Alex Gibbs style of zone blocking that we used to do back in the day. but you got to have some guys. Our offensive line is really shabby. You know, we've spent a lot of time this week. I mean, you and I go round and round about Jalen Mayfield. I thought it'd be better. At the end, I'll agree, he was terrible. And the stats and the eyeballs, you know, the eyeball test admits that this guy really struggled. But in his defense, he was not a left guard. He was a right tackle at Michigan. Can they get him back to where he belongs? Can Ifedi maybe win that right tackle job? And the center. So three positions. And what if McGarry comes in and balls out? Even though he's kind of a dead man walking because he didn't pick up his fifth-year option. What if he can find something that he hasn't shown the first 3 years?
Better go cash in with another team. That's what'll happen.
Because that's going to be it's a contract year in essence for him.
But here's the other thing, Mike. So let's say you still have struggles on your offensive line. At what point are you going to have to dip back into the well of a high first-round draft pick on your offensive line? How long, you know, if
because you... Well, you could have made the argument for Penei Sewell last draft.
I got news for you. You could have made Charlie Cross your first-round pick, right, who Seattle did a Carl Lewis sprint to.
The Mistate lineman, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Carl, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, they were running up there like Carl Lewis. They got reprimanded for handing in their pick too fast draft night from the commissioner, right? I mean, that's how
they
were.
I made the argument. Nobody ever wants, again, you know what it is? It's the things that nobody wants to talk. Everybody wants the party. Nobody wants to clean up. Well, you need the guys to do the dirty work. Nobody ever wants to talk about offensive line. We've had one great offensive line in the last 10 years here, and that was the 2016 that came together with Levitre, mm-hmm, and obviously, you know, Chester, and it worked out perfectly.
Alex Mack bringing him in.
Carl and I got you, Alex Mack. We were the guys lobbying for it, okay? Yes, sir. John, you got to listen to the program. We were the dudes we were making that the statement halfway through 15 when we had a center that couldn't even snap the ball to his own phenomenalies. I mean, that was ugly.
James Stone and Mike Person, by the way.
But now you look at an offensive line that in the middle, it sounds to me like they really expect Dahlman to win this job now. You know, and sometimes you know when you know. Sometimes a late round pick. You've kind of the way your body language. Whenever I bring up Schaefer, you don't think Schaefer can win the starting job as a guy that played at UGA, played in those big games in the SEC.
I just think with the guys that they have drafted, because remember Mayfield's their draft pick, Dahlman's their draft pick, and you want to give those guys a chance first and foremost. And I think they're hoping that a Caleb McGarry can come in and win that job. Look, he's got first-round talent, right? I mean, there's a reason why a guy gets drafted in the first, a reason why a guy gets drafted in the fifth round. I'm not saying the guys can't overperform their contract, but you expect the first-round talent to be able to come in and anchor a position. So you have guys that you think, and you know, Ifedi's another guy, another first-round talent that has just kind of bounced around the last few years. You're hoping one of those guys can step up. Doesn't mean Schaefer at some point in a year or two, but remember, you know, you put Jalen Mayfield out there in his rookie year, and he was a third-round pick, and you see what the results were. Out of position, what have you, but just even the basics of what you needed to do.
Grady Jarrett was a fifth-rounder who turned into a stud, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, the same draft as Vic Beasley on that same defensive line at Clemson. But, yeah, you know, it's also the work ethic and the attitude. I mean, I don't think there's a problem with the work ethic. I just think it's the amount of God-given skills that you've got in Mayfield. He's going to probably be better at right tackle. But when we had the coach, Arthur Smith, in studio, it sure sounds to me, maybe because they're still so thin and they weren't able to spend the big money in free agents, because this was obviously the year where – this was our gap year. This was the year we're going to take it in the CODs with the biggest dead cap hit in the league. But it sure sounds like they're still committed to Mayfield, which I got to be honest, it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Well, because you want to give him another – he's a third-round draft pick. You want to give him another shot. And I'm fine with that. My problem is if you put Mayfield and Hennessy side by side again on the
injury
of the
same result. Right.
Right, exactly. I mean, okay, they could be a little bit better, but I don't know if you can get both guys to elevate enough to help one another. I mean, it sounds like a recipe for disaster. Now, I want to ask you a question.
All right.
If they move on from Deion Jones, who's going to lead this team in tackles this year? The last 2 years.
Great question.
The last 2 years, Foyer has been the leader the last 2 years. The 2 years before that was Devondre Campbell. Then the year before that was Deion. If you move on from Deion Jones, who's going to lead this team?
Rashawn Evans? I mean, I don't know what happened in Tennessee. No one really gave you a straight answer, but they did not pick up his fifth-year option. That's usually a pretty big red flag. We just mentioned Caleb McGarry. There's a guy that, you know, look, and to be quite honest with you, there were other picks. We had to be the sharpest. Again, Dimitroff, it is what it is, water under the bridge. We probably could have gone in other directions for tackle, but we went with McGarry. But in the case of Evans, perhaps he can – some guys have come to another location and they pop. I mean, the Raiders did that for years. The Patriots do that for all the time. They get a guy in the right system, and Pease loves Rashawn Evans. So just off the top of my head, I'll say Rashawn Evans.
And he may very well be. I mean, and the middle linebacker spot is really up for competition. Evans and Anderson and Kiwetkowski and Michael Walker and all those guys. But it does leave a big hole in void between losing Foyer, losing Devondre Campbell the last couple of years, and then if you move on from Deion. And I'm wondering when there's any sort of decision on Deion. We're, what, like less than 3 weeks away from training camp? So yeah.
And for those who don't remember, Debo's been injured and not able to participate.
Had the cleanup procedure on his shoulder.
And he's also going to make $20 million this year. We always thought it would be a post-June 1st designation. In other words, they get some relief and move on. And, again, he's a great player, but is he worth $20 million? No. No, not by his performance. I mean, he goes from 1 week being the defensive player of the week in the Miami game down at Hard Rock, and then other weeks where Squid Billy and I used to argue this with Carl all the time about how much of this was players who were out of position, but sometimes he didn't pass the eye test week in, week out.
Yeah, and look, in the system that Dean Pease runs, that when you have a lighter guy and you have offensive linemen that are coming up into that second level because you run a three-man front, there are times when Deion gets sort of run over.
Nobody's blocking those guys that are coming after him. Right.
It's not coincidence that they have signed bigger, thicker, more physical types of guys and things like that. Now, how they translate, that's another story. But the profile, right? Everybody's talking about the profile. We're getting big wide receivers. Okay, well, they're getting bigger, thicker, stronger middle linebackers right now for this team too.
This is a sort of a sea change. Bigger receivers, bigger linebackers. They want more physicality. We used to joke around about the Hard Knock season. The Falcons are soft. Yeah, because they didn't have the right dudes. They got the right dudes. They think they got the right dudes. But remember, guys, this is going to be like turning a battleship around. It's going to take a minute because this year you didn't have all the money to go in and get the free agents. You hope your rookies develop, and then next year you plug in the right free agents because you're going to have some loot. By the way, speaking of mistakes and things that drive you crazy about the Falcons' defense, Sporting News posted this earlier. It's the most sacks in the NFL since 2018. The leader is, with 65, six more than Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt, who was selected six spots after we went with Tack McKinley.
Yeah, but he didn't have a picture of his grandma on draft night.
We all at the time were really motivated that Tack McKinley was a little nuts, and that was kind of cool. We said, hey, maybe this guy from East Bay, Oakland guy, maybe he's got a little street, you know, a little toughness, and it never worked out. The knock on T.J. Watt was, well, he's more of a 3-4 guy, and of course Dan Quinn, the defensive genius, couldn't make that work. The other story on that, by the way, you and I were joking around, Jim Mora Jr. was his coach at UCLA, apparently got in somebody's ear, either Quinn or Dimitroff, that this Tack McKinley thing is the real deal. And meanwhile, T.J. Watt was a smart pick, and sometimes you have to be the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, and Tack was always hurt at UCLA, and it didn't work out that well. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, bad draft memories there. Hey, diving into the history and culture of baseball's unofficial rulebook with Unwritten, a new podcast hosted by Ron Dahling and Jimmy Rollins, former players. This week, they're going to talk to an umpire, or teach you how to talk to an umpire. Download Unwritten on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. We get back. Time for the strong arm story of the day. Hawks still making moves. Maybe more to come.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Sports Flash. Brought to you by Bader Scott Accident Attorneys. After an accident, don't wait. Dial 8. Call 404-888-8888.
I'm Stephen Gagliano. Adding DeJounte Murray not only places a second scorer next to Trae Young, but it also gives the Hawks a guard that's well known for his ability on the defensive end of the floor, something that Murray told Dukes and Bell he's been working on for a long time.
Playing in my neighborhood, playing, you know, with my family and friends, and, you know, being the younger guy on the court playing with all the older guys, you know, you got to get the stop to get the basketball, you know, so none was ever given to me, and that's just where, you know, that comes from. That's where my defensive mentality is. You know, I wanted more than you. I don't want to be embarrassed by you, and, you know, just wanting more, and I got to go out and get it.
2022 All-Star, Murray was also named to the NBA All-Defensive Team back in 2018. Danilo Gallinari, who was included in the Hawks' package for Murray, was released by the Spurs and is now signing with the Celtics. After four seasons in Atlanta, Kevin Huerter is on the move as the Hawks sent Huerter to Sacramento in exchange for Mo Harkless, Justin Holiday, and a lottery-protected 2024 first-round pick. The big trade of the day elsewhere in the NBA saw the Jazz deal Rudy Gobert to the Timberwolves for four first-round picks. First pitch between the Braves and the Reds is coming up tonight at 6:40, and Ronald Acuña Jr. will be the first one to step to the plate as he returns from a foot injury. Max Fried will get the start for Atlanta, while Mike Minor is on the mound for the Reds. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Stephen Gagliano from the Kia Studios on your home of Sunday's match between Atlanta United and New York City FC. Kickoff at 5, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Yeah, man, Duke Sabel here on a Friday as we head into Independence Day weekend. Hope everybody has a great holiday weekend. Of course, enjoy the Monday holiday. If you missed our conversation earlier with Hawks star that has just had his presser today, DeJounte Murray joined us earlier in the show, 6:20. Make sure you're tuned in because we're going to replay that interview that Mike and I had with him.
If you want to get a DeJounte Murray jersey, be rocking number 5, by the way, for the Hawks. They mentioned earlier today.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
man. And again, he's excited. You'll hear what he had to say about Trae, their relationship, and he was in contact with Trae. We heard from Steve Kuhn that Trae obviously was on board and was made aware of the intention to make this move because, you know, as we said earlier, when he said, wow, if you go get somebody that gets Trae off the ball, is Trae cool with that? Well, it sounds like Trae realizes it works for Steph Curry. It can work for him, too.
Well, that's what Nate McMillan addressed right after the offseason was the fact that, hey, we may go find ourselves a point guard. Prophetic now, right? I mean, that he said we may find ourselves a point guard that can handle the ball, take the ball out of Trae's hands all the time, and let him play more off ball. I'm guessing that's what the plan is going to be. So,
and one of the things that when we heard the rumors, again, it kind of came out of nowhere. There's all these things about Rudy Gobert and DeAndre Ayton and everything else. And then when the DeJounte Murray stuff came out, you mentioned it was a draft night party you attended with the Hawks. You look at his numbers, and he's just like an assist or two away from like a triple-double averaging. This guy plays defense. We asked him earlier. We'll play the full interview later. But here's when I asked him about his defense.
I think it's more so, you know, obviously it's a pride thing, but it's also is I want it more than you, you know, type of thing. And, you know, defense and rebounding is a big part of winning basketball games. So, you know, with me having a winning mentality, you know, those are two areas that I take really, really a bunch of pride in. So that's all I can say about that.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, we talked to Steve Kuhn earlier. He said that he and Trae Young had been in communication for about 3 weeks leading up to all of this. And, again, it was a move that kind of came out of left field. We did not see this for all the rumors of everybody else that the Hawks were going to be involved in. This kind of came out of nowhere. So, again, if you missed that interview, we'll play it again at 6:20. Hawks have been busy today, though. Do you get, like, a special – if you complete the Holiday Brother set – do you get a special gift or anything, Mike? Because we have two of the three Holiday brothers that are here now. So Aaron Holiday signed a one-year deal with the Hawks. This is basically going to be replacing the DeLon Wright signing that he had. And then the Hawks obviously traded Kevin Huerter today, where they're sending one of their draft picks, first-round draft picks, and then Justin Holiday and Mo Harkless are coming back. Two guys, Mike, on expiring contracts. You save a few bucks, and you have some guys – that are going to save you some money after this year.
Yeah, again, it's kind of, yes, we'd like Jrue Holiday, but he was kind of spoken for with his contract up there in Milwaukee. But the one thing about the first Holiday we got, he's a good defender as a point guard backup because we lose DeLon Wright. DeLon Wright signed a deal, which was it, 2 years, $12 million?
Two for 16.
16, wow. He's not worth, I mean, he's a good defender, but I don't know about that, but he signed up there in Washington with the, I lived in D.C., I always say Bullets. But anyway, he moved and traded. No, he signs up there, and that's a decent contract. So we make a trade for the other Holiday, so we got some depth there. They're expiring contracts, so in all likelihood, you wouldn't have him pass this year. And even though Steve wouldn't take the bait when I asked him, you're also clearing the deck because you're getting Herter's contract off the books for the next 4 years.
More than just maybe potentially moving one of these guys, it's like you said, Mike, $65 million that was going to be owed, that started this year for the Atlanta Hawks as far as the four-year, $65 million extension for Kevin Herter. So, and again, it's not a knock against Kevin Herter. I like him. I think he's, you know, a good player. Mm-hmm. But they kind of, in a way, Mike, they picked Bogey over Herter in this case.
Right, and I didn't like Bogey coming off the bench with Herter starting, and Herter is kind of a streaky guy. There's times where he gets hot. There's many times last year when I was like, needed Herter to step up. Remember when Bogey would be out, for instance, and he really couldn't answer the bell. The plucky Richie Cunningham looking white guy is always going to be a fan favorite. But there's, you know, you and I said this earlier. There's dozens of guys just like that all over the NBA. So it's not a knock, but it's you've taken that money out. So if you want to sort of extrapolate, well, if we did make a trade for somebody that we're going to have to pay some big money for, this is money you won't have to worry about. It's only a $3 million savings now, but we're talking about maybe down the road, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not $65 million guaranteed that we have to pay out over the next 4 years. So. Hawks are probably not done, Mike. I know Steve Kuhn was rather coy. It seemed like he was a little bit, had one eyebrow raised. And he kind of had that Dr. Evil kind of sense about him, had the pinky in the mouth and one eye raised. He couldn't really say anything.
You know, it's funny. We mentioned a lot of the time yesterday, we mentioned Kevin Durant. And would Kevin Durant be cool with the trade to Atlanta? Look, the Brooklyn Nets don't owe him anything. It's nice that ESPN's reported he wants to go somewhere. He's under contract to Brooklyn. They can trade him anywhere they want. So the idea that he wants to go or would he be interested in Atlanta? It doesn't really matter. Brooklyn's going to do what they're going to do, and the experiment blew up. I saw a lot of stuff today on SportsCenter, and I saw some blogs where now Herter is the bad guy. Kyrie never got the vaccination, so he couldn't play again. New York's vaccination rules were asinine. No one debates that. But you had Kyrie, who couldn't play the home games last year. You had let's be honest, James Harden was hitting the clubs and hitting the buffet when he was on the floor. Eventually, he gets ready, goes over to the Sixers, and now you get a Ben Simmons, who's the biggest head case on the planet. So I don't know how this is all, you know, Durant's fault, but it is kind of funny how Kyrie opts in, and then Durant goes, see ya.
Yeah, and he went to the owner.
He basically ghosted. He ghosted Kyrie.
He didn't go to the GM. He went to the owner of the Brooklyn Nets and said, hey, I want to see about getting traded. Now, it's been expected that deal could come, you know, as early as today is what some people were thinking. So, if Durant's going to move, it's going to happen pretty quickly here because, again, everybody's arranging their deck chairs right now, right? I mean, everybody's extending their guys, trading their guys. We saw the Rudy Gobert trade today. They gave up a ton, 5 draft picks plus players to make that deal happen. So, everybody's kind of locked up. So, if Durant's going to go, it's probably going to be pretty quick here.
Yeah, the thing about Durant, if you think that he comes here and, oh, I don't know, he's getting older. Did you see him when the Brooklyn Nets came to town? What, did he go for 50?
Yeah, he was insane that night. We were all there that night.
This guy is a rock star. I don't care about his social media. I don't care that he's got rabbit ears about what people are saying on Twitter or in the locker room. The guy would make us instant contenders to win the Eastern Conference. Now, much like the Miami Heat, a lot of guys are still fighting this, saying, well, who'd be on the team? Well, yeah, we'd have to move a ton because they just saw the Rudy Gobert one-sided trade to Minnesota. That's a Minnesota problem. But we would have to move a ton of assets to get Durant here.
Yeah, and you've got your draft pick this year. You just picked up a draft pick. You have a swap in 26. You do have some first-round picks available besides the players that it would take. And look, if y'all believe that John Collins is truly going to get moved, they're not giving up John Collins for fish heads and rice. They're not just bringing back some, again, those rumors that were out there about Harrison Barnes for John Collins. With all due respect, I don't want Harrison Barnes here.
Not now. And the thing about if you go back to the Ayton, DeAndre Ayton trade, is that still alive, you think, with Phoenix?
Well, I would think they're going to do something, right? I mean, they extended Booker with the 4 for $214, and you would think that if they're going to move on from Ayton. But again, I think what holds that thing up is, what does Ayton want? See, that's the thing about bringing Ayton here is that's going to be a sign and trade because he's a restricted free agent. Are you giving him 4 for $131? Because that's supposedly the number that's been thrown out there.
It's a lot of loot. But again, you'd have Trey would be your bird exemption, right? Mm-hmm. So you can still do it, but it's because people are mystified how the Gobert trade, now Gobert goes to Minnesota and they already signed Cat to a monster deal, Karl-Anthony Towns. And people are saying, well, what are they going to play with two guys? No, there's ways to get around that. They
can make it work. Supermax. You can't have two Supermax guys is what it is. That's why the idea of trading Trey and all that kind of stuff, you'd have multiple Supermax guys on there.
Right. If you missed it today, Gobert, he does go to Minnesota. Everybody got paid today. Everybody who wanted to get paid got paid. We talked about Djokovic and getting the $60 million at the last year of his big monster contract in Utah or Denver. Donovan Mitchell got paid. But the one that really interests me, let me get your take on this. What if I told you a guy's played 85 games in the NBA? You're going to load up the Brinks truck for Zion Williamson?
Well, he played 1 year with 85 games, right, with playoffs and everything? Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
No,
this
no.
Is multiple
His entire
years?
Career in the in the association is 85.
And he got how much?
Well, it's a lot more than you and I are going to make in our lifetime.
Say $234 million.
Yeah, I can't. Now, everybody's seen the pictures, and we were joking around earlier about how people do podcasts now in sports, and they got to have the hype man, the guy in the background going, yeah. That's right. Well, Zion apparently walks around with an oil man. He's got a guy who puts baby oil on him every time he's in the gym. Have you seen this? He's all cut and swaggered out. He's like, I don't know what he got on, but he's lost some LBs. I still could not, no way in heck, given that kind of money, because you have no way of knowing what this guy's going to be able to do.
But you're the Pelicans, and you're backed into a corner. I mean, you drafted this guy number one overall. You can't let him walk, or you can't say that you're ready to move on from him. Because remember, a few years ago, when they had Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday, and they had Boogie Cousins, they were one of the better young rosters in the NBA, and they blew that whole thing up, and you got Zion, and you got him with the number one overall pick. And everybody, look, when he's on the court, Zion produces. Problem is he's not on the court enough out there. So it's almost like you're stuck if you're the Pelicans, right? You have to give him this max money type of deal.
All right, we spoke with the CEO of the Hawks less than an hour ago. He was very coy about what's going on. We think, just using it again, he laughed at it when I said my spidey sense. I still think there's a trade afoot for this Hawks team.
I'm with you, Mike. I hopefully before we get to like 6:40, we get a confirmation of a trade for the Hawks. But when we get back, the other team in town that needs to get back on a winning streak is the Atlanta Braves. They are in Cincinnati. Good news is that Ronnie is back. We'll talk to our man in the know, Grant McCulley, coming up on Around the Yard next on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, man, Braves are in Cincinnati as they get ready for a weekend series against the Reds after what was a blowout loss last night, but still successful. 2 out of 3 in Philadelphia, and now take on the lowly Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, man, and our baseball insider, our man up there, well, not in Cincinnati, but he's our man at Truist. It's Grant McCulley, and he joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Grant, before we even get into that debacle last night, we'll talk about Ian Anderson. Who was your favorite Braves position player called into pitch that you can remember?
The first one that I saw that I really remember was Johnny Gomes back in 2015. That was probably the most amusing one, but Charlie Culberson coming in pumping like low to mid-90s was pretty impressive.
Remember, that's a great pull. Forgot about that. The lady's second choice behind Dansby. Good pull, man.
It's his stand-in.
So last night, obviously, just, you know, again, I chalk it up to that's one of those baseball nights. But, you know, Grant, we talked to you yesterday, and it was another bad start for Ian Anderson. It really is a one good, one bad kind of thing right now. And I don't know, I 5.31 ERA, and we're just about at the midway point. It's got to have some concern at this point.
Yeah, no, I think that concern's warranted, too. And, you know, as I was going back looking at the game logs, I mean, the consecutive starts thing, that was a little bit troubling. But then you go and look at the bigger picture of the month of June, and outside of that one start in Chicago, this has been a rough run for Ian Anderson. And one of the things about his command and control, obviously I said, if you command the fastball, you got a lot better chance of putting guys away. But I don't feel like he's been able to throw his changeup for strikes as much this year, and his curveball has just kind of disappeared. And that, I think, has made him a little bit easier to figure out.
I know, Grant, we've asked you this before, but Soroka, it's a fantastic story. It'd be one of the great comeback stories, but it's not something that Braves fans should be banking on, is it, when Soroka comes back?
Well, I don't want to completely downplay the expectations to where it's like, well, whatever you get from him is a bonus. But at this point, it's probably in that neighborhood more so than, hey, we need Mike Soroka to come back and look like the 2019 Mike Soroka who could have won Rookie of the Year, and we need him to come in and just dominate and help front the rotation with Max Fried. That, I think, is too much. But it's also the fact that this is an extremely talented pitcher, and he has not been dealing with arm trouble, which is good. So he does have that going for him. It's not some long road back from Tommy John or the shoulder surgery or something that really derails the pitcher's career. It's just been this fluky Achilles thing that, you know, unfortunately he had to deal with not once but twice. But, you know, Mike's a hardworking and physically talented kid, and mentally, you know, if he wasn't already kind of head of his class, then the last couple of years, I would imagine he's even sharper than he was prior, just because, you know, our experience is the best teacher we're going to get. But as far as what you can expect on the field, Mike Soroka is a competitor, so I wouldn't put anything past him. But I also wouldn't say that the Braves will simply sit pat or stand pat at the trade deadline and not look at the possibility of maybe adding a starting pitcher if they can find somebody that fits their plans.
It is our Braves insider, Grant McCulley, here joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow Grant on Twitter at Grant McCulley as we get ready for Braves and Reds. Mike Minor on the hill for the Reds tonight. Max Fried on the mound. And, Grant, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show. Obviously, we got the word with the All-Star voting now goes into this Phase 2 thing. Ronnie, obviously, the leading vote-getter. He's going to be a starter in the outfield for the All-Star team. But I thought it was amazing. Braves Nation really did a great job, and give the Braves credit, too, for really pumping this thing up. I mean, Contreras is up for DH. Darnold up for catcher. Ozzy, you know, is the leading vote-getter, even though he's on the 60-day IL. Dansby. I mean, it really is amazing how many Braves are at this stage as far as All-Star voting goes.
Yeah, I mean, heck, you even managed to sneak Adam Duvall into the list, and that just shows you that Braves fans, they'll go out there and they'll really, you know, back their guys. But when I look at the serious All-Star candidacies of guys who could make a case to be the starter, Dansby Swanson's on that list, no doubt about that. William Contreras is in a fascinating place because Bryce Harper broke his thumb. He's not going to be back by the All-Star break, let alone maybe not back this season. So he might be a de facto DH starter for the National League. We'll see how that all plays out. But then you've got other guys that Travis Darnold could get the opportunity to be one of the catchers, should be one of the catchers in the National League. And then we haven't even talked about Max Fried and Kyle Wright, and potentially A.J. Minter, I think, is a guy that might have a case as well. And, you know, Brian Snitker is the skipper here, so those guys drop out or get hurt or need alternates and things of that nature, the Braves might be able to get a couple of other guys in there. Austin Riley is somebody that has put up good enough numbers, and especially compounded with what he did last year, to make himself into the player that everybody believes that he is now. He's a guy that could find his way into the All-Star game. So it should be a very Atlanta-heavy National League contingent that descends. And as if we haven't had enough fun talking about the Braves and the Dodgers and all of the subtext and context and, as you would say, John, rumor and innuendo that's gone on between those two contingents, it should be pretty fascinating.
Hey, man, the usual lineup tonight with Ronald is, you heard John mention, DHing. As Grant McCulley joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Michael Harris, I mean, I think he's the most exciting, one of the most exciting players in baseball right now. He's rolling. Eric Slaughter, who works with us here at the station, came up with the numbers, and I appreciate him throwing it at us. 17 straight games are coming up next before the All-Star break, Grant, for the Braves. So you're hoping the starting pitching does its job.
Yeah, you really are. And as we go back to talking about Ian Anderson and some of these struggles that he's had, it might be that opportunity to, you know, maybe hit the reset button with Ian. And they haven't optioned him down since he came up in 2020, and they really hadn't had a reason to before this year. But the struggles are becoming more and more pronounced. And they've also got Kyle Muller in the minors throwing about as well as he's ever thrown in his career. I mean, this is a high-octane arm. We got a good look at him last year, and I kind of felt like, you know, maybe he had more to give, but that just wasn't the way that the Braves wanted to play it in rotation last year. But, you know, he's got a sub-2 ERA in his last five starts. He's routinely pitching into the seventh inning. He's 7 strikeouts to every walk. He's punched out 43 guys in 33 and a third innings and allowed 20 hits. I mean, this guy is absolutely dominating. And at some point, if you got somebody really struggling at the big league level and an obvious guy that you could try out at the minor league level, somebody who's pushing the pushing the issue, maybe it will be time to start really considering the option there, because you could do Ian some good maybe by taking some of that pressure off and letting him work through some of these things without feeling like you have to just keep pushing him out there and getting the same results.
Grant McCullough joining us here in the WaitForIt.com hotline. He, of course, our Braves insiders. We get ready for Braves and Reds coming up tonight. Braves did make a move today. They picked up a right-handed pitcher, Silvino Bracco from Boston. We know anything about this guy. I guess he's going to be up. They sent Cruz back down to the minors.
Yeah, and this is just a bullpen depth move. And as the Braves go and make moves over the next probably week or 10 days to bring back Tyler Matzik, to bring back Eddie Rosario, I would imagine this is a guy that could get pushed out of his roster spot. But they needed somebody to step in and really just give them that extra arm just to have one. And that, I think, is why the Braves went out and made that move so they wouldn't end up in a roster crunch.
Grant McCauley, before we let you go, man, the Reds, we were talking about this earlier. It's funky with the Reds, man. We split that opening week. Remember, we're trying to figure out if the Braves have a hangover after the World Series. But we do have some issues at times at Great American Ballpark. You think this team is going to not have a problem over there?
Well, you hope not. I mean, it's a good place for somebody or for a whole offense, really, to go and have a very, very good time from an offensive perspective. And if the Braves pitching staff, which you've got Max Fried out there in game one, you feel good about setting the tone that way. You know, the Braves pitching staff can weather what has been a hit-or-miss Reds team at best. I mean, they split a series with the Braves early in the season, but that's really not indicative of how they've played by and large since then. So this is not a place that I look to be, you know, a trap series, if you will, but this is just the job of the Braves now. It's just, hey, just go out there and keep winning series. Would you love a sweep? Absolutely. But you'll take 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 every single time you can get it. And on the other side of this, of course, you got the St. Louis Cardinals waiting for what I think is going to be a very interesting matchup for 4th of July.
Yeah, starting Monday. That's going to be a lot of fun. Grant, where can we hear you?
You can catch me on Sunday nights on 92.9 The Game for From the Diamond. You can also find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app.
Thanks as always, Grant. Look forward to talking to you again. So good stuff. And the Reds got off to that 3-20 start, and two of their wins were against the Braves when they started out like
that's
that.
That's what made it so strange, that opening homestand. Yeah,
yeah. And they've kind of rallied a little bit since then, but this is still one of the worst teams in the National League. You got to go up and beat them up.
Mike Minor's ERA is way up there. So hopefully, man, 7.71. Jeez. So, I mean, if you're a gambling man, are you a gambling man, John?
No, I don't have Mike Bell money.
Oh, will you stop it? You know what? You're someday your prince will come. No, I'm just saying, I would imagine the money line. I'm trying to find the money line on this one right now, but I got to figure it's going to be like Braves probably like a, you know, minus like 200 or something like that because they're playing great baseball.
What's the over-under runs for tonight? That'd be another thing, too, with that ballpark. It is a bandbox. That in Philadelphia really are, Mike, like bandboxes. You know, that old term in baseball about stadiums, you know, Coors Field's a bandbox. Well, man, these two stadiums, Cincinnati and Philadelphia, those are bandbox stadiums. They were built to hit tons of home runs out of. Remember the Reds when they had Adam Dunn and all those kinds of guys that were hitting, you know.
Adam Duvall was out there back in the
day,
too.
Yeah, the Dave Kingmans of the world, right? I mean, Dunn was a 198 hitter hitting 45 homers out there. So Braves could certainly get their offense going tonight.
Hold on. This is like a splinter in my brain. I must have this gambling information for the degenerates out there, especially for the degenerates that are driving through Atlanta. I'll give you some helpful little consumer news you can use. According to MGM, check that. What's the one we use? So I'm making sure I'm being a good, proper corporate citizen. BetQL has it at. The Braves are minus 278. So, in other words, you have to bet 278 to win 100. That would be almost like a 3-1 favorite.
Any idea what the over-under is tonight?
Hold on, but wait, there's more.
Okay.
They don't give you all this information where it should be, which would be nice. Can't find it. 6 runs.
Yeah.
Over.
You figure Max Fried on the mound tonight. Reds probably won't score a whole lot. Braves could. This could be kind of.
Oh, check that. 9.5. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Okay. 9.5.
They're
expecting like that means like 6-3. That's not going to get you there. 6-4 and you're over.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good.
See, kids, an over-under is a total of all the runs scored or the points in an NFL game. Remember, gambling makes sports more fun. Ask Phil Mickelson.
Top 3 at 6. That's a lot of fun. We'll get to that next. Dukes and Bell.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.